Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, howdy, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 13th, 2012, episode 357. Good morning, Horse World.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
Rough as the life in between, and the fence isn't there for you to straddle, and you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Well, we certainly hope everyone had a wonderful Monday, because I'm not going to lie to you, Glenn. I'm lacking in sleep just a wee bit, and I have a little bit of a headache. Chad and I went to the hockey game last night with like 10 of our closest friends. Remember I told you we won the suite tickets to go see the hockey game forever ago because we gambled at some party and we ended up winning the suite tickets?
Oh, yeah. And I said I didn't know they played hockey in the desert.
Yes, yeah, I remember you saying that. Well, they didn't play hockey well in the desert. Let me just point that out. Actually, they ended up losing in a shootout. The shootout was kind of pathetic. I was like, that's it? It's over? But because it went to a shootout and they have like the little overtime thing and all that, I didn't get home till midnight last night. And lucky for me, the show starts at the wonderful hour of 6 a.m. So not getting pretty much out of there till midnight, or home till midnight, asleep by like 12:30. Pressing it, you know, trying to get the dogs out and do everything. I'm on my third cup of coffee, and I'm going to try to make it to the end of the show without falling asleep. This is like I used to thrive on no sleep and then do radio shows in the morning. I'd be like kind of still drunk, come in, you know, like, oh, I got this, pushing buttons and putting CDs in and everything. Now I'm in my 30s, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't get 8 hours. I can't function. This is terrible.
Jeez, I can't imagine. You used to do traffic in Atlanta in the mornings. Were you causing wrecks everywhere on those half-drunk mornings you were doing traffic?
You got to have something to talk about, you know? I was a DJ. I was, like, doing traffic reports. It didn't matter. That was what I did. And when I was 23, I could roll in basically from the bar, take a quick shower, and hop back in the car and go to the studio. And I would be fine on 2 hours of sleep. Not anymore, my friend. Not anymore.
Well, that's, I woke up in the middle of the night last night. I didn't sleep very well because I got this cold. I started on the cold that everybody's had, so I'm fighting that today. I actually took a 5-hour energy drink about an hour ago so I could get through the show. So between the two of us, it ought to be just an energy, action-packed, filled show today.
Well, at least you have 4 more hours to go. If the 5-hour energy...
I got to record 2 driving shows with... Oh, that's true. And then I crashed this afternoon. I'm supposed to be recording 2 driving shows with Wendy this afternoon. We'll see how that goes. Jennifer, do you feel any better than we do?
I feel fabulous. And on today's transition between spring fever and spring flu Tuesday, we open with Standardbred Racing for Dummies, presented by owner of Hittim's favorite Facebook sulky horse Wildfire, Shauna Kroll, with our hosts, Jamie and Glenn playing the part of the dummies. And flipping the knowledge pancake over, Dr. Gordon Chang is here to provide us with a perfect preparatory prelect on the immune system. So stay tuned for the party, folks.
Jennifer, you got to make
my immune system's not so immune today.
You got to make these more normal. I don't think anybody understands what you say because you're so much smarter than the rest of us.
Facebook folks, please tell me you understand. Please.
And you know, when she said that we're the dummies, you know, I resemble that remark.
I resemble that remark.
Well, my Daily Winnie is one of these. I have two happy birthdays, actually, today. One, and I know she listens to this show every day and enjoys it better than she enjoys anything else she does in her life, and that is Carrie Underwood. It was her birthday over the weekend, and I just wanted to wish her a happy birthday because I know she loves me, and she listens to this show, and she just, it's her favorite thing that she does every day. I saw her write that on her blog post, and I just thought I would give her a happy birthday. And then there's another one, somebody I know that actually does listen to the show occasionally, and that's Vaughn Wilson, the author that's been on this show before. So happy birthday, Vaughn. And if you know Carrie, could you please tell her to at least listen once tonight? I love her. That's all.
I was going to say, it's just you.
Oops, sorry. Go ahead.
It's all right. You're quick on the trigger. I was going to say, doesn't she obviously loves you. She writes songs about you. She wrote songs about when you cheated
that's
on
right.
her, and she, like, beat your car up with her baseball
right.
bat and everything. Yeah, she totally loves you, Glenn.
There you go.
My Daily Winnie goes to Zenyatta and her fans. And everybody associated with her. Actually, I was reading on the Blood Horse this morning that, you know, we do this is a radio show, and then it becomes a podcast. And I really think that we need to step up the guest level because there is a Blood Horse podcast called Talking Horses, and I'm just reading about this for the first time. And it's called Talking Horses. Am I allowed to talk about other blog
sure.
podcast, Glenn? Okay. You're going to be like,
they've been doing that for a while, haven't they?
Yes, they have, I know. But this one
we talk about other podcasts.
Yeah, this one's going to be the coolest one ever. Because joining Talking Hosts, Talking Horses moderator Ron Mitchell and Blood Horse Magazine staff writer Esther Marr will be Lane's and manager Mike Klein and Charles Campbell, who managed the broodmare operation at the farm, which were in charge of Zenyatta during her pregnancy. So basically, Charles is totally cheating on me. He is podcasting with somebody else. I can't
you're right,
get the
he
guy
is, and I would
to
I,
answer my calls. Excuse me, and he's totally cheating on me with the Blood Horse, and I am pissed.
I did think you two had a thing.
I thought it was pretty clear that if he was going to be on a podcast, it would be mine. Hello? I don't care if it's like the Blood Horse and it's like a real racing, you know, podcast and whatever. And they're probably not going to talk about how good looking he is. So what's the point?
That's true. He's on with a couple of guys. I would really be insulted. You know, he has stood you up now for a couple of guys.
I am going to send him a strongly worded Facebook message. That's what I'm going to do.
And I'm sure he already thinks you're stalking him. I'm sure that will help. I'm sure that will just help. You know you're going to have police knocking at your door one of these days, right?
Charles, how dare you? How dare you join another podcast to talk about Zenyatta and her baby when you haven't even been on my podcast to talk about Zenyatta and her baby? Three or four more things like this, and I'm not going to like you anymore.
And I bet you we have more listeners than they do. Just saying.
Oh, obviously. Okay, I'm done. I'm done. You can move on. I'm done venting. But I am going to totally listen to
this. If I had known you were going to bring up Zenyatta again, I would have got the song ready. You should have warned me.
Yeah, I don't tell you about that anymore because that song was stuck in my head for like 3 days. You played it on a Friday, and like I could not get away from it for the whole weekend. So Anyway, for those who do want to hear it, because I'm actually pretty excited, you can submit questions for this episode. I'm going to totally submit. Charles, why won't you call me back? you can submit your questions at twitter.com/bloodhorse and use hashtag talking horses. How about me talking Twitter? And then you can post your questions on the Blood Horses Facebook page or email question. Anyway, it's going to be broadcast today, I think, at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So it'll be available after that. So pretty cool.
Cool, very good. Yes, we don't mind talking about other podcasts. There's so few of them out there, it's nice to actually know that there's others that talk about horses.
What else? They're going to talk about, answer questions about Zenyatta's personality traits, her daily schedule, how she handled being in foal, and then insights into the foaling process of other mares at Lane's End, like kind of like how different was it? I have questions. I'm going to have to give me a minute. I got to email some questions. It's a blood horse.
Well, today we're going to learn all. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago you said, oh, we got to find out. I have questions about standardbred racing. Well, hopefully here in a couple of minutes we'll answer those. And we do not have, usually on Tuesdays, we have Horse and Country TV, but apparently everybody was busy over there today. Either that or they beat us in the ESMA Awards, and now they're too good to talk to us. I'm not sure which it is, actually.
I'm serious.
We need to find out
about
that.
Victoria totally stood us up today. So, I mean, no, just kidding. They let us know in advance. But I really do think it's because she was on
there's
Monday.
Big...
like, I'm better. There's some big what?
There's some big horse race going on over there starting today. So that's what I think is up. They actually are starting. Let me look it up. And it's they posted it on their Facebook page, and I've seen a couple articles about it. It's really big in England. Let's see here. The Cheltenham Festival gets underway today. With the champion hurdle is the feature race. So apparently there is some racing going on, and I believe that they're probably out covering that, which is why she's standing us up.
Okay, as long as it's not the ESMA Award thing, yeah. I do have to tell you, let's preview a little bit the show that's going to come out. The Battle of the Sexes, Glenn, if you will. When is that show going to come out?
The Friday? Battle of the Sexes?
Between Alan and I.
Oh, that's not coming out till the end of the month.
Oh,
when
well,
we're moving, that's one of the recorded shows we're putting up at the end of the month.
Well, everybody's going to want to tune into this show because Alan and I did a little bit of a battle of the sexes, but it was not before it was discovered that I totally screwed up the time we were supposed to record, and I was in my car driving home with a new horse in my horse trailer on the freeway doing a Battle of the Sexes podcast with Alan Moorhead and Glenn. So I'm going to have to talk a little bit either at the end of the show today, if we have time, about the new horse. I've got to let you guys know about it.
All right.
We have a new horse.
Yeah, well, we recorded it, and, you know, Jamie said, oh, I got a new horse in the car, and I'm driving home, and I asked her about it, and she wouldn't tell me. She said, you have to wait till the show. So I don't know anything about this new horse, but I can't wait to hear about it. And by the way, that show, it was a quiz show. We actually had Jamie versus Alan, because those two have been going at each other for a year now. We thought we'd see who is the ultimate winner, and I came up with some fantastic questions about horses that stumped both of them. And that's Wednesday, March 28th. Is when that show is going to come out. We're going to have 5 days off there where Jennifer and I are going to be moving to Ocala, Florida, packing heading out. So that's one of the episodes you're not going to want to miss because it was truly a battle of wit.
Let me just say that when two guys take on one girl, the guys stick together. Your questions were correct, and I totally pulled through. I mean, you guys, I need everybody to listen to this show and give a grade to our wonderful quiz show host, Glenn, and tell him how ridiculous his questions to me were and how easy his questions to Alan were. It was silly, I thought.
I thought they were terrific. When in the annals of quiz show history Has anybody ever asked how much saliva, on average, a horse produces in one day? Alex Trebek has never asked that question, ever.
I guarantee he hasn't, but he also hasn't said, Jamie, what is the, you know, ocular degeneration of the Appaloosa at the age of 15? And then, Alan, what's your favorite color? I mean, really? That was it just wasn't fair. I would like to let you know that our next guest is ready before I give too much away. All I'm saying is tune into that one, people. Tune in. Well, our first guest on the show, I'm very, very excited to talk to you because my husband and I, we go to this little, it's so bizarre, we go to this little tiny Korean restaurant that is just outside of the entrance to the Air Force Base that we live near. And in this little tiny hole-in-the-wall Korean restaurant, we've been going there for 3 years. And every single time we walk in there on the television is horse racing. I don't know why. I don't know why they play TVG all the time. But we love to go sit there and watch horse racing and eat Korean food. So, you know, I came back to Jennifer and I said, Jennifer, we've got to get Shauna on the horn or somebody who can answer some questions that I have. Because I have questions about standardbred racing, and I need to know the answers. And so I would like to welcome our listener, Shauna Kroll. Welcome, Shauna.
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
Fantastic. Tell everybody where in the world you are.
Pompano Beach, Florida.
Well, that doesn't sound
bad. Oh, that's not bad.
Park
that's
racetrack.
A good place to be.
I was waiting
Hi,
for
Glenn.
You to... Oh, we're in Canada, just south of Toronto. No.
I don't do north anymore.
Good for you. Very good. Yes. So tell us a little bit about why you will be an expert for us and be able to answer my questions on standardbred racing.
Well, I hope I can answer them. I've been doing the racehorses since I was 18. And I'm 53 now, so what, 35 years?
Right on,
right?
Girl.
So I will do my best to answer them. And, you know, sometimes you just, you know, somebody asks you and like, well, I don't know, because it's always been that way. But I will do my best to answer you and clear anything up.
Okay, let's start with, are you a, you said I've been doing the horses, are you a trainer, are you an owner, are you a, I don't know, not a jockey, a driver?
I own, and I do train, and I take care of them, I'm a groom, so I do everything. I've never driven, I don't drive, and I really don't want to, that's left to somebody better than me, but I do train and jog, and I take care of them, yes.
Okay, so if you can, Shauna, can you give us a brief history on standardbred racing?
Well, it started in the 1800s, and they just raced up and down the roads with the trotters. And then they got, I guess, you know, things started to develop. So they didn't have the straightaways, so then they started building the racetracks. And then it went from there to where it is now. Pretty brief, but basically, you know, it's really what it did. And then the starting gate was came about in 1946 because they wanted to have a better way to have a fair start. And before, they had like an arm across, you know, more than head high. And they all just would kind of line up and then go. And we don't really, I can't imagine doing that with the standardbred. So, you know, because it's not like a thoroughbred. You're going from zero to, you're going from a standstill to a gallop. You know, this year trotting or pacing, and that takes, I think it takes a little bit longer to get yourself going. So that's why they have the starting gate.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a lot of different starting gates, but the one guy's name was Steve Phillips in 1946 had the first, would be now the modern starting gate, where the wings fold and they all go off at the same time.
Yeah, it's quite the,
clear it up?
It's quite the interesting contraption. But so basically what you're telling me is that the history of standardbred racing comes from a bunch of guys standing around drinking, deciding to
pretty
race
much
their horses down the road.
Sure. And betting, and yeah, you know.
Exactly.
Isn't that true of any racing?
Pretty much.
It seems like it. All right.
Yeah.
I bet my horse can trot faster than yours. I'll give you $5 if it can.
Exactly. Right. That's right.
Gotcha. So how old are standardbreds when they start their training?
Well, they start training if you get one at the yearling sale. And then, of course, you know, like thoroughbreds, they turn two. So we start training them, say, November, 2 months before they turn two. So they're, mm-hmm. like, what, 22 months old? And they're really not that old, even. Because, you know, some of them are born, you know, January, February, March, April, May,
mm-hmm.
and June. A June foal is very young, but there have been some really good June foal two-year-olds, but they're, I think, few and far between. So basically we start them out and we line drive them, and then you jog them like a mile, and then you get them up. If you've started jogging them in November, by January, they're usually up to 3 miles, and they're starting to turn and learn how to go the right way, you know, the raceway, and how to do that. And you usually take them in sets with another horse so that they're not out there alone, and, you know, they get the feel of what it is to start to race.
Now, does the, you know, you talked about the trotters and the pacers. So
okay.
Do you know the difference, like, immediately, almost when you see them in the pasture, who's going to be a trotter and who's going to be a pacer? Or is that something that you guys kind of create, or is that just a normal thing? How does that work?
Well, pacers are a whole separate bloodline.
Okay.
But there have been trotters that paced and pacers that have trotted. They're just kind of anomaly.
Uh-huh.
But if you go out in a pasture of foals, you usually can tell them apart, because trotters are a little bit finer, better looking, and the pacers, you can't say that they're all, they don't, you know, they used to call them jugheads because they had these big ugly heads. And a lot of pacers now are very beautiful. But there's just some way they move. Even if they're not pacing, even if they're trotting, you just can tell they're not a trotter, that's not their preferred gait.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's what I was kind of wondering is, like, you know when you have a thoroughbred or a warm blood or a quarter horse, you know, you
right.
can tell from a young age if they're a good mover, you know? So I
right.
would imagine that's kind of why I wanted to know. I'm like, can you tell when
yeah.
they're out running around in the field? So interesting, you can. How would you explain the difference to, because I try to do this to my husband and explain to him the difference between the way that pacers and trotters move, and I walk, like, with my right arm and right leg go together, and then I'm
yeah.
like, this is how pacers are. How would you explain the difference to the layperson?
You know, you have dogs, and if you watch your dogs, they'll pace a lot. If I have a German Shepherd and she walks on the pace a lot, and
uh-huh.
the right hind, right front move together, and the left hind, left front move together. Whereas a trotter, you know, it's the left front, right front, left hind move together. So that's basically how you can tell, and I think you just have to watch the way their legs move, because the pacers move on one side to the other, where the trot is a diagonal gait.
Okay, gotcha. Now, do you train the two differently? How much difference is there in the way that you drive them or you start them or anything like that?
Trotters are a little bit more a finesse horse, you know, because pacers wear hobbles. And that keeps them on gait. And there are very few free-legged pacers. And the pacers go a lot faster than the trotters. And the trotters, sometimes you have to be a little more careful with them. They do have what they call trotting hobbles, and we've used them quite a bit. But still, sometimes you just have to be a little more careful, take a little more, be a little bit more finesse than a pacer. You can just kind of throw the lines at and say, go. Whereas a trotter, you might have to hold them together and help them a little bit. Does that make
sense?
Now, do
you get penalized during the race if they break that, Shauna? If they come out, you know, if they break their gait, is that a penalty or how does that work?
Yes. You
Good
have
question.
To lose ground. If they make a break, a trotter or a pacer, you have to take what they call take back and lose ground. And then if they catch back on stride, they can actually win the race. But they have to show that they've lost ground. And
which means what? I'm not quite sure what you mean.
Oh, let's see. If they make a break, a lot of times the driver will take them to the outside and get them reset and then go on
okay.
and finish the race. Now, sometimes it's hard. Pacers, I think, are a little easier to get back on stride because they have something to help them, whereas a trotter, sometimes when they break, you know, you've lost too much ground and you can't make it up. But the thing is that they always have to lose, you always have to lose ground. You can't keep running because obviously on a gallop, that is much faster than a trotter or a pace. And you can't just let them gallop. That's against the rules. You have to take them up
and
not bring them to a stop.
So
you just have to get them back on gait. And then you can finish, but you
okay.
have to show
so,
that
you
lost
gain.
Ground.
You can't
gain.
So you can't gain
right.
on the other horses, or right? Okay, gotcha. So,
right.
All right. It's sort of like a penalty in NASCAR where they make you move back.
Exactly. Yeah. It kinda. Yeah. And you know, it's, you know, there's so many things that can happen. You know, to make when they make a break, and there's so many because then the judges will look at the race before they post the official order of finish. And they'll make sure that that driver has lost ground. They'll make sure that he didn't run into somebody else and cause them, you know, maybe to not finish where they should. Say if, you know, say you do finish, the horse making break is fourth. But he really impeded with the guys that finished fifth, sixth, and seventh. He can be set back to seventh and everybody else can get moved up.
Okay, see, this is why, Shauna, we wanted you on, and we called this little segment Standardbred Racing for Dummies, because I feel stupid asking these questions, because they're so basic, but it's a part of the horse world that I just really have not been exposed to. Now,
right.
This is going to sound really probably even more Standardbred Racing for Dummies. Like, this is going to sound stupid, but
no.
I've got to ask, because
okay.
we watch these races. And we're sitting there in our little Korean booth in the restaurant, staring up at this big flat screen TV. And I swear to you, every time, Shauna, they come around that final turn and they're heading down the home stretch,
mm-hmm.
I swear it looks like half of them are racing for their life. And it looks like some of them are pulling back as hard as they can. And I swear it looks like they're cheating. Is cheating prevalent? Why are they pulling back on the horse's mouth when they're running? I don't get it.
Okay. A lot of the way, it's the way the drivers sit nowadays. And they sit, if you watch the whole race, these guys are almost like laying down in the bike.
Right.
And I don't know why they do it. I can't do it because I don't know how they see. But that is just the way they sit in the bike nowadays. Before, everybody else kind of sat up with, you know, leaned back a little. But now they all lay straight. If you watch the races from the Meadowlands, they're all laying flat back almost. Except maybe some of the older drivers. But the young guys, they lay flat back. I have absolutely no idea. And then they'll come back and say, oh, we couldn't hold him. Well, gee, maybe you should move your handholds up, you think? You know, you can't tell them that.
Now, are they leaning on the bit the whole time, Shauna, or is it just it looks that way?
It just looks that way. They're not really, no.
Okay.
Because
okay,
then
seriously?
I would think you'd make them all pullers then, and they don't all pull. So.
Yeah, besides
having
that,
just the way they sit.
abs. I swear, these guys, it looks like. So is that something that the standard bred industry worries about, is cheating? I mean, does that happen? Because I swear it looks like they're cheating. I'm like, that guy is stuffing his horse.
Well, you know, in Michigan, they found a bunch of guys guilty of cheating, and they all got a lot of days, and, well, years, really. And these were drivers. But now, you know, it's more, I don't think that's as much as a problem as the illegal drugs or, yeah, the illegal drugs.
Pretty much same stuff in every sport.
Yes. You know, they do extensive testing. The more money the racetrack, the richer the racetrack, the more extensive testing they can have because they can afford it. Because from what I understand, to test for like Epogen is very, very expensive. And that's why I say a lot of tracks don't do it. But I think it's getting cheaper, and they will send samples out. And almost everybody has a black box, which just tests for the levels of baking soda. And you're not allowed to have over, I don't know what it is, but I think my husband probably would, but you're not allowed to have over a certain level in your bloodstream.
A
baking
soda?
Have, yeah.
Wait, why would anybody give a horse baking soda?
Okay, if you have a... Okay, like anything...
Sorry, dummies. Remember,
yeah, I was kind of wondering that, too.
Like anything, a little bit helps. So they think more helps. You know, more is better, which...
Yeah, but we're not making cupcakes.
But... Like for a horse that ties up, especially like a mare, if you can give them a little baking soda in their water, it helps them not tie up. It helps to rid the body.
I have never heard that before. Jamie, am I the only one? I have never heard about baking soda.
Yeah.
No,
and actually, baking soda, they do still use it. And I think here at Pompano, there's three trainers that have had high black boxes, the baking soda test, that they are no longer allowed to race here. So they are trying. Yep. And now Joe and I, when Joe worked for Continental, the horse tested high. And they said, and the stable we worked for, they do not do anything like that. But his blood, the level of whatever it is, was high in his blood normally. So they had a paper, you know, with the vet's signature and everything saying that this is this, and they would bring the blood results with them. And we also had one that was like that. So God forbid he would have ever won. We would have had to show proof of that, because whatever that compound is in the baking soda was just naturally high in him. So
okay,
it's complicated, but it's not.
Go ahead.
I just was curious, like, so it just helps them keep from tying up. Okay, so
Okay, that's the original thing. Because when we worked for stable, we always put baking soda, because then it helped them not tie up, it helped them get rid of the lactic acid. You know, it was a therapeutic thing. It wasn't bad. But then these guys are given 4, 6, 8, 10 ounces. And what it – see, I never had a horse that they gave it to. I've never worked for anybody that did that. And so from all I could understand is that – yeah, I don't know. They said it just like at the three quarters, they'll swell up, and they've got all this energy.
Okay. So it's kind of almost like Lasix, where it – opposite, it pumps water to the brain, you know, it pulls water out of the blood. This is kind of opposite, where it puts water into the muscles, kind of like creatine or something like that.
Yeah.
I think I get it.
You understand? Because what they'll do is they'll drench them.
Because horse people, especially crooked horse people, think that if they can get away with anything, they will try it. Because,
is
it going to make them faster, smarter, stronger? They're going to do it. You know, and unfortunately, that's probably in every sport, including our NFL, NHL, any of those major sports like that. When money's on the line, you know, you're going to try to cheat, unfortunately. So, anyway,
I work with show horses. I work with a lady that had high-end hunters, and I was her show groom in Wellington. And she knew, and, you know, it's not just the racing industry, but she knew exactly how far out she had to give certain stuff. And it's like the TQ, like ketophen, banamine, butte. And I'm like, and you think racehorses are bad?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just
Shauna, I got a question.
Our industry. Yes.
I have a question for you. So would taking baking soda help Jamie and I be funnier in the morning?
Maybe.
Don't answer that.
But you're
Don't
pretty
answer
funny
that.
Anyway.
I have a serious question. Do you think Calumet Farm, do you think that's how how it all started? They used baking soda. They actually invented baking soda for the horses, and then they started selling it to people. Do you think that's how it actually started way back when? So you don't have to answer that one either. That's rhetorical.
That's baking powder.
It was
all right.
For baking.
Oh, is it powder? Okay.
Yeah, baking powder.
I have a question here Before I ask you about life after racing, because we are taking a look, we're moving to Ocala, Florida, and I'm looking at getting back into driving, and I want to get myself a retired standardbred. I have some questions about that, but before I get to that, has standardbred racing been going down in popularity like thoroughbred racing? Does it have the same problems, at the track?
Yes, it has, Simulcasting is good. And simulcasting is bad because a lot of people don't go to the races then. I mean, they still bet the money, but they don't come and watch the product.
Okay.
And I think that's, it's good and bad. I mean, TVG and HRTV, they've helped, but yet you can sit at, I mean, I like sitting at home and watching the races. So, and I work
have,
in the industry.
Do you have casinos at your tracks?
Yes. Yeah, it's the Isle of Capri.
I was wondering
about that.
All right, now.
Card rooms,
Let's get on to retirement. Want to get a standardbred after, after a thoroughbred comes off the track, a lot of people who aren't familiar with horses think that they're well trained and they're broke and you can do anything with them, which is not the case. They're trained to do certain things and that's it. Is it the same way with standardbreds, or are they pretty well broke to drive when they come off the track?
Oh, they're very broke to drive. That's not the problem. Because standardbreds, they have a really, really good attitude and a really mentally a lot. They're more mentally sound probably than a thoroughbred, because thoroughbreds are very hot-blooded, where standardbreds are more like would be classified as warm. And just to take them out to jog them, I mean, of course, you want to find a nice one. And, you know, there's some goofy ones too, but it's more likely you can find a very nice one that just likes to go out and jog and drive and have a good time.
How about riding? Because I would love to get one that does both, you know, that I can go out to trail rides with Jennifer, and then I can also go out and act like a nut behind the cart.
Yes, you can do both. I broke several standardbreds to ride. The one that got away, the one I should have kept, he was really great. And I was actually going to do an intro dressage test with him, and then he got sounder and sounder, so we brought him back and we raced, but him, I think he would have been the perfect horse. He was really a cool horse. Unfortunately, I have no idea where he went because we sold him. But, you know, there's a lot of standardbreds out there that would like a home. And if you could give one a home, that would be fantastic. And if
I especially like... Oh, okay, that was my next question. Good. All right, so definitely get a trotter. Did they ever learn to canter?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think that
Yeah.
Now, I've never taught one to canner, but what they tell me is like taking them over cross rails. Like once you get them broke and going, you take them over cross rails, you trot them, and then a lot of times they'll break into the canner. But I think it just takes a little while longer to get them to do it, but you can, especially somebody really knows what they're doing. And I think up there in Ocala or around Gainesville, there is a place, if I can think about it, I'll send you the link, that they take retired standardbreds and retrain them. And then you could even get them from them.
Oh, wow. That's cool. And the other thing, too, and you said the show, we used to call them jugheads. Jennifer used to work at a standardbred barn for years. And, you know, they were always called jugheads because, let's be honest, they were ugly. They were not a good-looking breed. And now, you're right, I think they have gotten cuter over the years.
Yeah, the standard, the trotters especially, they usually have nice, pretty heads. You know, you get the occasional ugly one, but not very often. The pacers are, I have a pacer right now that he's absolutely gorgeous. And he has a beautiful head. He's stunning looking, actually. You wouldn't, if you just say photographed him with the head and neck, you wouldn't think he was a standardbred. He's beautiful.
So
and I'm not saying that
because
he's mine.
Cool.
Yeah, you lie. You... My horse is
no,
beautiful.
Other people say he's beautiful. I will post his picture. I will put
Please
his picture
do.
On horses in the morning.
Please do.
And
now, one.
See.
Okay, do that.
We're going to have to let you go in your second because we're running out of time. But one final question.
Okay.
Just because
sure.
I'm just curious, how long is a standardbred's race career?
Okay, they can race till they're 14, and then
Holy
they have to retire.
Cow.
There's not a lot to race till they're 14. Maybe the average age, 10, 11. I mean, it is still a long time. There's a horse racing here. His name is Sir Valahad, and he is 14, and he is still very competitive. And he races a lot. They have what they call amateur drivers, and he'll race in the amateur races. And then there's another horse called Scorpion Moon that's 11 that races in the highest class, which is the open trot. And he just won, actually, last week.
Wow.
And he's
so
11.
They work. Glenn, do you have one listener question?
Yeah, Aubrey Miller asks, can you ask Shauna about the earplugs on strings in race strategy? I'm not sure what she's talking about there. But.
Oh, the pop-out earplugs. Yeah, they, you know, horses, they'll get a little revved up behind the gate or just, you know, racing period. So you put the pop-out earplugs in and you just, it just helps keep them quiet. And then when, like you say, maybe the half or it's usually right before the three quarters, they'll pop them out and they'll be like, oh, okay, let's go. And it just wakes them up a little bit. It keeps them calm and it wakes them up. And there's a string that runs from the earplugs all the way back and the driver just back to the stirrup, and the driver just kicks them out with their foot. Now, I'm not talented to do that.
Now, can I just point out that if earplugs were legal in dressage, I would win every horse trial I compete in if I could
Absolutely.
Do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I know.
Earplugs in. Yeah, I wish it was legal.
It's a good thing. You know, you just pop them. And to train them to have the earplugs in and pop them, you just, like, jog them, you know, or when you're training them a mile or something, you just pop them out. And what I'll do a lot of times is I'll put them on in the stall, and you can hook them to, like, the halter, and then I'll just pop them out, and they get used to them that way, too.
Amazing, amazing. Well, Shauna, thank you so much for tolerating us for standardbred racing for dummies. And the next time I'm sitting in the tiny Korean restaurant and I have more questions, we'll have you back on.
Okay. Well, what races do they show? Do you remember the tracks?
If you said some of them, I might recognize them, but they always look cold.
Oh, Woodbine, Yonkers,
yes.
Northfield.
Yeah.
And Meadowlands, maybe.
Meadowlands I've seen and Woodbine I've seen. Yeah, definitely. And, well, listen, thank you so much for being on. Again, we'll have you back. And good luck with your horses. How's Wildfire? Is she doing okay?
Yeah, she finished seventh last week, but she had, you know, a lot of road trouble, and, you know, it just was just one of those kind of races. She'd won the week before, and she's really good, and she's racing again tomorrow, so, you know, we race almost every week, so.
Good luck.
But she's
and
good.
Then we just, a word of advice, just give her some earplugs and some baking soda, and she'll be fine.
Oh, gee, thanks.
So
no, actually, she does not wear earplugs, and we don't give her anything. So
I'm saying, just try a little cheating, and you'll be fine.
Okay,
no,
I'll tell. You know what? I'll tell Joe.
Oh, give him Wildfire a big hug for us. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again soon, Shauna.
Bye.
She's a saint for putting up with us, Glenn. My God. I'm like, oh.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Today.
I just have no clue about it. Thanks for taking care of that, Jen. I couldn't go to that place without asking questions again. And you know what's really awesome is that when Chad's going to be like, why are they pulling back on the reins? I'm going to be like, they're not really pulling back. They just, you know, some of the newer drivers drive in that position. And I think it's for, like, wind resistance. It's, like, drafting. I don't know. I'm going to make something up. It's going to sound awesome. I'm going to sound so smart.
I was interested to hear, too, because I am serious about, you know, taking a look at getting a retired standardbred for my next horse when we get to Ocala. So I was anxious to learn about that, too. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited about that. And, you know, I hoped I didn't insult her when I said they were ugly, because they really were. I mean, Jughead's got that name for a reason. But they have kind of bred that out of them a little bit and made them cuter.
Ugly.
So
they're not ugly.
Again, yeah, they were pretty ugly. Yeah,
not
Jennifer, you worked with them, you know.
Believe it or not, the uglier ones were frequently nicer horses, though, because
the faster ones.
Yeah, because the ugly heads really, for the most part, went back to the albatross lines, and albatross, I will admit, was not an attractive animal, and he threw a lot of unattractive children. But they were really, really fast, and that's why for about 15 years there were so many standardbreds with really big jug heads like that, especially pacers, because of that lineage. It was kind of like the Northern Dancer thing in thoroughbreds. It was such a popular bloodline that it just kind of concentrated that whole thing. And then some of the cam fellas came along, and some horses with some more pleasant-looking heads to the modern eye got to be popular stallions, and you saw that fade away, though.
So to wrap up, if I get a cute trotter, he won't be as fast and won't run away with me. That's what I'm learning here.
I'm just going to support you getting an off-the-track standardbred. I love the idea of it. I think it's great. You know, we represent the thoroughbreds and, you know, might as well represent standardbreds too. So I love it. Do it. Now, we've got Dr. Chang coming up in just a second, so we got to play the song, but we have a commercial first.
Yep, we're going to go to Equestrian Collections first, and then we have a song for you, and then we'll be talking to Dr. Chang with his nutrition tip for the month. Howdy, everybody. Glenn here from the Horse Radio Network, and I'm speaking to Debbie over at Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This is Happy Spring Week, and I wanted to have all of the listeners look at the feet of their veterinarians or their trainers. And what are you going to see on them? Ariat Terrain Boots. These are the go-to comfort shoe for the horse industry. If you... they're so comfortable. They have all the good stuff from Ariat inside of them, and they're also good looking, and they come in lace so that you can wear heavy socks, you can wear light socks, you can ride in them, you can walk in them. You can't say that about every boot on the market. This is a tried and true boot, but I wanted to feature it this week because it's in the springtime. You're going to be doing a lot more outside work, and this is the boot to go to.
My wife has owned many of these, and they actually feel, when you're wearing them, more like a sneaker than a boot, which is kind of nice. It, you know, doesn't give you that stiff boot feeling, and that's why they became so popular in the first place. And then they have the moisture wicker lining, so your feet don't get as hot. So that does make them a good summer boot as well. Plus, they come in all kinds of cool colors.
Yes, and they also, we have another boot, the terrain boot, that is waterproof. The regular terrain boot is not waterproof, but we do also offer a waterproof boot in the same style.
That's right. And they have a bazillion different sizes. So you're
going to find
a size to fit your feet, no matter what size you are.
But I challenge you to look at your farrier or your trainer or your vet's feet and see what they have on them.
Or your radio show host here at the Horse Radio Network. That's the Ariat Ladies Terrain Boot. You can find it at equestriancollections.com. Just search for Ariat Terrain Boot, and you'll find it over at equestriancollections.com.
Rogerson. Oh, love that song. Peace, Love, and Horses. And you can find all his music at jaredrogerson.com. You can find him on, I think, iTunes and CD Baby for sure. So definitely check those out. That whole album is awesome. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. I am Jamie Jennings here with Glenn the Geek. And we've got a very special guest on the line. He usually joins us on Mondays, but he's going to have to join us on Tuesday because of the long show we had yesterday. Glenn, is that why you're a little bit tired too, Glenn? Because that was such a long, interesting show for you?
Yes, it was, you know, it's always harder for us when we have to do 10 guests in one show and get them on and keep up on like that. But I think it's more that you got me sick, that I got your cold that you gave to me through the microphones. I think that's more.
You know, we can play the blame game, Glenn, but I'm pretty sure that I am 3,000 miles away from you and talking to you through a microphone. So I don't think it was me, but whatever. If that makes you feel better, then fine. Well, we're going to welcome Dr. Chang to the show. Good morning, Dr. Chang from Omega Alpha.
Good morning, Jamie. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Well, we're doing fantastic. Glenn's got his head on the desk right now. He's a little bit sick. He needs some Omega Alpha pharmaceuticals. What do you recommend?
Are we sure that it's illness, or is it from a night of too much partying?
It could be that. He's not really telling. And his wife never sells him down the river, so I don't know.
You know, the nice thing about the radio is that you can get away with a lot of things. People can't see you, you know?
That's true, Dr. Chang. That's why we do radio. That's why we do Radio Plus. Nobody wants to see us this early in the morning. That's the other reason.
Right. But
Dr. Chang, I'm currently in my bathrobe right now. So
okay. I was going to say, this is a great segue into what I wanted to talk about today, was a little bit about the immune system. And hearing that Glenn was sick and picked up a cold or something like that from doing God knows what, right? It's a great segue as into the immune system.
I thought you were on my side, Dr. Chang.
I'm always on your side, Glenn. I got your back. Don't worry.
Okay, good. Just checking.
I was just going to say the immune system, I mean, not too many people think of the immune system until after they've got a cold, right? And especially, I'm thinking especially for the horses, nobody thinks about it until there's a virus that's running through the barns and their horse are the ones that get it. Or sometimes they travel around with their horse to different shows and, you know, they put them in a stall, in a barn with a horse that has a cold or something like that, and voila, your horse gets it. And that's the last time you need it during a competition. That's when you don't want to have a cold, right? And you know, I always say this, a horse that is healthy, a mediocre horse that is healthy will outperform a fantastic horse that is ill on any given day. Right? That's just because if you're ill, you can't run, you can't jump, you can't do anything, right? And Glenn knows that from experience right now, right? And one of the things I try to preach is prevention. Prevention is a very difficult subject to sell. And a major reason for that is they say, well, I'm not sick. My horse is not sick right now. You know, if I take this immunity boosting product, will it keep my horse healthy? You know, unfortunately, there's no 100% guarantees. The nice thing about boosting the immune system is that it'll keep your horse healthy against a lot of different illnesses. It'll take much more viruses, much different types of bacterial viruses to make your horse sick, right? But it doesn't mean your horse will never, ever, ever get sick, right?
Right. Well, if that was the case and you had that magic pill, you'd be a bazillionaire. I mean,
if you can guarantee it, you'd be a bazillionaire. That's the unfortunate thing here. You can't guarantee it, but it's a way of, I call it stacking the cards. Right, you're basically stacking the cards in your favor when you take an immune boosting product to try and basically boost the immune system and keep the immune system boosted, especially during competition time. Right, when it's not competition, you know, usually it's not a big deal. Your horse gets sick, okay, he gets sick. Right, it's not the end of the world. He'll recover. But if on the day of competition, the last thing you want is your horse to get sick. And I'm sure there are lots of cases out there where this has happened because of the stress of travel, et cetera, and that will make your horse more susceptible to any viruses or bacteria floating around or so on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and the thing is, you if you take any of these immune system boosting products after your horse is ill, they don't work as well. And the reason is as follows. and I'll use just numbers off the top of my head. No, don't quote me on these numbers. Let's say your horse is on a product that boosts the immune system, like the Omega Alpha Immune Plus, okay? What happens is that because the immune system is boosted, you have more white cells floating around. You have white cells floating around that have higher activity levels. So what that means is that as soon as you have one bad bacteria or one bad virus floating around in the blood, all of a sudden the immune system recognizes and chomps it off before it gets a chance to multiply, okay? Now, when you're already sick, here's what happens. Instead of one virus floating around the blood, you may have 100,000 viruses floating around the blood, right? So all of a sudden, if you try to boost the immune system at that point, it takes time to boost the immune system to get it up to speed, okay? And during that time, your 100,000 viruses goes to 1 million, to 100 million viruses. Then all of a sudden, even with a boosted immune system, you think about it, we get more soldiers in the field, but you have a lot more enemies to kill. And because you have a lot more enemies to kill, the soldiers that you have may not be enough. So if you don't have enough soldiers, that's why it's not as effective. However, I mean, it's not to say that you shouldn't ever take an immune system boosting product, even when you're sick. What it'll do is that it'll boost the immune system to the point where it'll start fighting off the bacteria, fighting off the viruses, so it may shorten the incidence or the length of time that the animal is sick, your horse is sick, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, this is definitely the case where prevention is key. You know, take it on a regular basis. I call it added insurance.
I think I've never had it explained quite like that, and it makes so much more sense now to think about, you know, soldiers in the field and the bad guys that are coming in and trying to take over. So when you say to give the immune booster, do we give it to every horse? Do we want to keep it in a kind of horse that, like, I have one horse here that's kind of more on the sickly side. He seems to be affected by everything that comes and goes. Is this something he should have, and is it something that, say, a more sickly horse should have? Should he have it all the time, or would it lose effectiveness?
Okay. For a horse that is, what you do if you think it's going to lose effectiveness, you cycle it. What you do, you run, you take it, you give it to the horse for about 3 weeks, and you stop for a week, and you do it again the next cycle, okay? Now, you ask me if you should give it to every single horse known to man. The question, it all boils down to, what is this horse doing? If this horse is a competition horse that you need to keep in tip-top shape, during competition season, I would say yes. When it's not competition season, you can let him tool around in the backyard, in the fields, etc., and enjoy being a horse. He is probably going to be just fine. Even if he gets a virus, it's not the end of the world because it's not competition season. You know what I mean? Now, another thing you asked is that boosting the immune system is one thing, but if you ever notice, if you give a horse a good dose of antibiotics, that horse, and if that horse has been on antibiotics for a long time, what happens is that horse seems to be more susceptible to anything floating around. The reason for that, again, we come back to my good friend's probiotics, right? What happens with a horse that has a good dose of antibiotics? All of a sudden, he has no more good bacteria in the gut. Or I shouldn't say he doesn't have any more. His bacterial flora has changed so that chances that he might have more bad bacteria floating in the gut. And one of the things that good bacteria do, it competes with bad bacteria for space. And if you, after a good dose of antibiotics, what happens is that you don't have the bacteria floating around. So any of the bad bacteria floating around, it just gets instant access to the gut, and all of a sudden it produces waste products, which stresses out your horse's system even more. So it makes it much more susceptible to any other viruses floating around. Right, so that's why it's a good reason to go on a probiotic product on a regular basis also. Something similar to our Biotic 8 product.
Interesting. So, thinking of all this, a good question is, does it test? Is it something that if I go to a horse show and I'm, you know, there's going to be off the charts of moon boosters in my horse's bloodstream or what?
No, because what they're testing for is particular compounds, and none of the compounds in any of these herbs are testable, meaning that nobody's looking for them. And to be fair, if enough people are using it, and the powers that be at the FBI or wherever they are say, oh, everybody's using this stuff, we'll start testing for it, then they'll develop a test for it, right? But as it stands, a lot of these herbal products, there is no test for it unless they're testing for a particular compound. And some compounds that people test for, which is a natural compound, caffeine is a classic example I always use, right? There's a herb out there called guarana. Guarana, if you didn't know about anything about guarana, guarana has one of its major ingredients is caffeine. So if you give your horse a lot of guarana, I guarantee you, you'll get a positive test for caffeine, right? But we here at Omega Alpha, we know to avoid any of those type of products, any of those type of herbs.
Okay. So where does that leave us, and what do you think that a good program is?
Well, I would suggest it to everybody, if your horse is in competition, I mean, always give them a good vitamin mineral product. By that I mean, when I say good, make sure that they have enough vitamins that are in horse dose, like B vitamins, calcium, magnesium, trace minerals like zinc, selenium, etc. And those are basically to help keep your horse's system up, and then also take an immune booster on a regular basis just to keep that immune system up, because the last thing you want, as I said, is at the day of the competition, because of the stresses of trucking and so on, that you have a horse that falls ill, right? So I guess my take-home message at this is that prevention is better than cure in a case like this. And whilst we can't guarantee 100% that you'll never get sick, if you boost the immune system, chances of the animal getting ill is a lot lower. And more importantly, the animal then, even if it does get introduced to a virus, chances of the virus overwhelming the animal is a lot lower, just because the soldiers, which are the white blood cells, right, are in much higher quantity, and it acts as a vigilant system to keep the viruses and so on at bay.
Well, and that really makes sense, because I do that for myself. I don't know why I've never thought to do it for my horses. But like yesterday, long story, but I ended up having to babysit three children. And the second my friend got...
What? Wait a minute.
Yeah, I know.
That's
a
story that we have to hear about.
I know. But the second I got home, Dr. Chang, I went right to my little cabinet of medicine and got out the zinc, the vitamin C, the golden seal, the echinacea, every product that I have. I was like, I've been around kids.
Yeah.
I need to take some meds.
Walking gym machines, right?
Yes, exactly. I was like, give me the meds. I don't know. So you know, an ounce of prevention I was hoping would be the best thing. And kind of the same thing with horses. When they're going to competition, they're traveling, their immune system is lessened, and they're going to be around a whole bunch of other horses that are stressed as well. It definitely makes sense. And then the probiotics come into play as well. So
that's
interesting.
Right. Yeah, but it's one of those things that people don't think about too much and until it happens. Of the day of competition, their horse is ill. For whatever reason, it picked up something that was floating around. Who knows, you know? You never know until it happens. And by then, sometimes it's really too late.
Right. Now, I've got a Facebook question for you, Dr. Chang, from one of our listeners. And her question is, and if you don't know, you can just say a no comment. How are a weak immune system and cellulitis related? And can a weakened immune system predispose a horse to cellulitis? And this is Judy Shepherd, who posted this on our Facebook page.
Okay. All right. To be fair, I mean, cellulitis, right, and an immune system. The immune system controls almost everything, okay? Immune system causes what the immune system does is causes inflammation also. That's a tool in its arsenal, okay? And the immune system, it's a funny thing that can go also haywire on you. You don't want an immune system to go haywire. Now, after having said that, boosting the immune system doesn't make it go haywire by any stretch of the imagination. When the immune system goes haywire, there are other issues that's going on, right? Now, an immune system that is weakened, right, may make your horse more susceptible to any type of to cellulitis. Now, I stress the word may, okay? It is not 100%, right? But it will certainly not hurt to boost the immune system of a horse that has cellulitis.
Gotcha. So basically, it ain't going to hurt anything. You are so
good at
explaining everything. I love talking to you. It's great.
I always say I wish I could come out and say to everybody, this is the be-all and the end-all, because everything I have said, there's probably always going to be one exception or two exceptions, you know. But in general, you know, boosting the immune system is not going to hurt your horse. The only time I would say boosting the immune system is probably going to be an issue if you have a horse that has any type of autoimmune disease, right? And autoimmune disease, because most boosting of the immune system, what it does is it's a non-specific boosting of the immune system. By that, I mean it boosts all parts of the immune system. It boosts the production of antibodies. It increases the production of white blood cells. It increases the activity of white blood cells, etc. When you have an autoimmune system disease, what happens is that you have the immune system targeting the tissues of the its own host, meaning that if you have a horse that has autoimmune disease, the immune system is producing antibodies, etc., that's attacking the horse itself. So in a case like that, if you boost the immune system, that's not a good thing, right? But for your regular Joe horse going to competitions that's in fairly decent condition, etc., boosting the immune system is a good thing. Even for your horses that are run down and so on, boosting the immune system is even better.
Gotcha. So what are the products that we can find from Omega Alpha? And obviously you can go to omegaalpha.ca to check these out. And it's just the best explanation for all of them, because I know you guys are limited legally with what you can write on your website. So that's why I think this is so important for our listeners to hear about and hear the explanations. So what are the products that they can go find?
Well, if you go to our website, there's a product which is called Immune Plus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Equine Immune Plus. And that is a product that directly boosts the immune system, okay? But, you know, as I said, the immune system is vast and complicated. There are other things that will help boost the immune system too. Things like probiotics will also help. Right, but it works by targeting a different methodology of it. But the Immune Plus is the one I would recommend on a regular, ongoing basis, just as a preventative, just to keep your horse healthy during competition season.
Okay,
right?
Gotcha.
And one other thing I wanted to mention to your listeners, if you go on our website, we have posted a lot of seminars that we do by teleconference. And we have something now called Coach's Corner, which we talk about not product-specific things, but talk about things in general, right, where we tie it in to performance of the equine athlete and so on. So it's themed and so on. It happens once a month. I can't remember the dates off the top of my head, but it's listed on our website. And all you need to do is click on it, and it'll tell you the dates, and then it's a live teleconference that people can join at if they want.
Great, and that is at omegaalpha.ca. Dr. Chang, as always, thank you so much for joining us and making this stuff, you know, understandable.
Thanks for the opportunity, and Glenn, look after that cold. I assume it's a cold that you have. I assume it's a cold and not too much imbibing from last night.
I wish it was, Dr. Chang. That would have been much more fun.
As you said, if you did the crime, you don't mind doing the time, right?
That's right. But when it's just a cold, then it just stinks.
Yes.
So, thank you, Dr. Chang.
Immune Plus.
Immune Plus.
Great. Glenn. Right. Go look it up.
Take care now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Dr. Singh. He makes things so understandable. You know, stuff that's really complicated, he really makes it so that I can understand it.
Yeah, if we can do that, then we can do anything.
That's true. That is true. Hey, a couple news stories before we head out here today. One is, you remember Full Metal Jousting? Well, I can tell you that some of our listeners absolutely love this show. Jennifer and I have been watching it. And other than the fact that they have started to put fake Winnies in, they didn't do fake Winnies in the first couple episodes, and now they, for some reason, the producers have seen a need to throw the fake Winnies in there. You remember we talked about the one guy who was in this is James Fairclough, who is the son of a big four-hand driver and also a hunter jumper, and he is a hunter jumper, and he bit the dust in practice the other day on the show and ended up, they took his helmet off and he was covered in blood all over his face and ended up needing about 3 staples in the side of his head, which put him out of commission for a couple of days. But he took a hit, Jamie, that sent him flying. And he's a little guy anyway. He's probably the littlest guy in the whole competition, but, you know, he just took a hit and he went off that horse. And there was a lot of blood involved that day.
Ew. Well, I mean, I guess that's what you get for signing up to Full Metal Joust, you know? Sheesh.
He's a tough guy, though. He came back, and he's riding again. So.
Well, good for him. I still haven't seen the show, so I can't really comment on it. But I did love the movie with Heath Ledger where he was jousting.
That was fake. This is kind of real. They're really hitting each other pretty hard. And Alan Moorhead wants to know, what the heck were you doing babysitting 3 children? You and children usually is a toxic mix. So I just checked the Arizona newspapers to see if there were any deaths of children while being babysat, and there weren't. So I'm assuming they all came out alive.
They all survived. I happened to be outside yesterday cleaning my pastures, and I don't know why, when apparently you have a pitchfork and a wheelbarrow full of horse poop, you're just a target. And that is when people stop and try to sell me things or talk to me. And my neighbor came outside, and she walks over, and she climbs the fence, and she walks over to me, and she looks like her hair is hanging down, and her face is pale, and she's just a big hot mess. And in the nicest way I can say to my next door neighbor, she looked terrible. She's like, I'm so sick. I have 103 fever. I need to go to the doctor. And I was like, oh, my gosh, yeah, you look terrible. She's like, the only appointment they could do was at 2 o'clock, and the kids are going to be taking their nap at that time. Do you mind coming over and sitting in the house while they're napping? Well.
Does she know you?
They're new to the area, okay? So. So I'm like, what time would you like me? She was like, just 2 o'clock, and I should be back by, you know, the appointment's at 2, I should be home by 3. I was like, so what time do I need to come over? She was like, well, like 1:30, 1:40. I was like, okay. You know what? I good fences make good neighbors, but you still have to be a good neighbor because they climb the fence. So I went over at 1:45-ish and sent her off to the doctor. And the daughter, who's 6 years old, was not asleep. But the 2 twin boys, who are 2.5, 3, were asleep. And she said that she would hopefully be home by the time they woke up. Well, that was a bald-faced lie.
Did you have to change diapers is my question.
I did not change a diaper, nor would I have. I would have said that you should have used the bathroom instead of me having to change a diaper. Now what happened was I'm sitting there and she was like, you know, Ashley knows how to turn on the television and she can watch some of these prescribed shows that they have on their Netflix or whatever. And so, you know, after about 10 minutes of trying to entertain a 6-year-old, I thought, well, let's just turn the TV on. That's what parents do anyway. So we turn the TV on, and she's selecting a program to watch. And, I saw things like, I'm like, let's watch SpongeBob. You're sick. She's like, oh, SpongeBob is terrible. I was like, what? I'm like,
Jamie's favorite show.
I know. How can I connect with a six-year-old who doesn't watch SpongeBob? So then we're going around, like, she's like, oh, we're going to watch this show. And I look at it, and all I can see is, like, it's a little icon on their Netflix, and it's called Harry the Bunny. And I said, no, I'm not watching a show called Harry the Bunny. What else is there? She's like, well, there's Dora. And I'm like, okay, what is Harry the Bunny all about? Because I hate Dora. And she's like, oh, it's the cutest bunny ever. It's a show about a cute bunny. And I thought, well, that sounds, it's an animal. And then I look and I go, Ashley, is that a puppet bunny? She goes, well, this 6 years old. She goes, why? I said, because I don't like to watch puppets. I'll watch a cartoon, but I'm not watching a puppet. You know, that's creepy. And she's like, no, it's not a puppet. It's a cartoon. That child stared me in the face and lied to me? I mean to tell you, this is Harry the Bunny. If you want to, can you Google it, Jennifer, and put a picture up of Harry the Bunny? Because it is the creepiest animal I have ever seen. It is a bunny. Who, cute face has giant hands, and the hands don't, it can't look where it's grabbing. So it's like, let me grab my blue car, and it's like hitting the table and looking for this blue car. It was the creepiest thing. I 5 minutes in, I'm like, of course, as soon as you turn on Harry the Bunny, the twins wake up, and they come running out there. They're like, Harry the Bunny, Harry the Bunny. And at this point, the mother has been gone for 2.5 hours, and I am still in the house, and I have the farrier coming. And I have to go meet the farrier because Joe Montana got his first pair of shoes, and I was expecting to be home. And I said, children, no more Harry the Bunny. We're leaving. And they were like, no, we're watching Harry the Bunny. And it is amazing how clearly a 2-year-old can talk when they want something. No, we're watching Harry the Bunny. And I was like, no, we have to go. I have to go next door. You guys are just going to have to walk next door with me. I've got to meet the farrier. And just a 2.5-year-old does not understand the verbal tone when you are in a hurry. They just don't get it. I'm like, they're like, we'll go, again, young. We're talking like 2.5, 3. We'll leave as soon as Harry the Bunny is over. And I'm like, excuse me, you'll leave now. And I marched my happy butt over to that television. I was like, ready? 3, 2, 1, click. I turned it off. I'm a horrible babysitter. I mean, just horrible. I'm like, get outside. Put your shoes on. Get your socks on. We're going outside. I've got to meet the barrier. You're walking to my house. So, yeah,
well, one thing is for certain, you'll never be asked to babysit those children again, so that's over.
No, I had things to do, and I didn't realize it was going to be like before. And bless her heart, she's at the doctor. She's so sick. She's got a fever. I mean, my God, you would have thought her husband should have stayed home and take care of the babies while she went to the doctor, but that's a whole other story. So I take these children over to my
house. I hope
she
doesn't listen to this show.
She does, and just please don't post anything about this on the show notes and Facebook because she will listen. the children are very sweet. They're great, and they did not cry when I turned off Harry the Bunny. I just said, let's go, and they were actually really good. So I get them to my house, and my farrier pulls up and sees me standing there with 3 children. And the look on her face as she turned the corner and saw me standing there with 3 children while I'm holding Joe Montana was so priceless. Like, why are there children here that you're with and there's no parents? I was like, it's a long story. I don't want to talk about it. Anyway, the mother finally came back from the doctor. Yeah, she's sick. She's taking my antibiotics. So I'm like thinking, I just need to boost my immune system. It's amazing Dr. Chang was on the show today. I have vented enough. Let me just point out that I am not ready for Harry the Bunny, nor am I ready for children. And if Harry the Bunny is any indication of children's television these days, I'm not having kids.
I just looked him up. He's on Facebook. There's a Harry the Bunny Facebook page. And if it's any consolation, I don't think Harry the Bunny is going to be around very much longer because there's only 474 people who like Harry the Bunny.
Really?
Yeah.
It was the worst show I've ever seen, ever. And you know me, I love kids shows. but this creepy-ass little bunny puppet with these giant hands, I was like, oh, my God, this is frightening. I can't watch this. And the
well,
kids are
and
like,
I got to tell you, this is funny, too. Listen to this. Listen to this. Harry the Bunny's last post on Facebook was on January the 5th, okay? And it says, suggest all of your friends like Harry the Bunny, help us reach 10,000 Facebook fans by 1:15:11. Didn't happen.
And he's got 400. That's because he's creepy. Harry the Bunny is creepy. It says he's a curious three-year-old bunny who loves exploring fun new things. No, he's a creepy bunny with giant hands.
All right, let's wrap it up. But tomorrow morning, I promise the listeners we're going to hear about your new horse, because I know Chad was looking for one after you know your unfortunate situation here the last couple of weeks. Chad was left without a horse, and when you have a horse husband without a horse who wants to have a horse, then you go find him a horse. So tomorrow morning, we'll keep everybody in suspense. We want to hear if Chad found a horse and if he's a cool one.
Yeah, I'll tell you all about it. I do want to just comment on Alan Moorhead posted, what were those three kids' parents thinking? And I said I couldn't agree with you more. You were like, that's my question, Alan. And Alan posted, bet they learned some new words.
Thank you, everybody, for participating today. Thank you to Dr. Chang for being here. Thank you to Shauna for joining us and filling us in. I learned a lot in the little segment we did on standard grads, and I can't wait to get my own when we move to Florida. That's going to be so much fun getting back into driving again. And Dr. Wendy Ying, the co-host of the driving radio show, has been pushing this effort, so she's all excited to help us find a standard grad. So I think I'm going to be getting some professional help from Wendy.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good idea. Please seek help. Seek help. Everybody have a great day. Thank you for listening. Thanks, Shauna, for putting up with us. Spay, neuter, and geld, people. Have a good one.
Do they have babysitting insurance for when you babysit?
I'm just not going to babysit again.